Welcome to this week's episode of the Black Cat Podcast. Thanks again for checking out the show. I'm your host, Sam Patching. Some actual football to talk about this week, which is pretty awesome. The Auckland Nines coming up on Saturday. Wasn't on this weekend for those of you who listened to the show last week and were eagerly anticipating the Nines tournament on the Australia Day weekend, which wasn't true. So apologies for that. But anyway, the Auckland Nines is on this weekend, and now that we've had a full week to sort of wrap our heads around the team that the Panthers are going to be fielding on the weekend, as well as who we'll be up against, we can actually sort of talk about it and have a bit of an idea of what to expect. So that's where I'll start the show this week. So the Panthers have named their squad for the Nines. I'm just going to quickly read it through. So we've got Brendan Attwood, Christian Crichton, Joshua Jay, Isaac John, Apisai Corasau, Kieran Moss, Andy Saunders, Nathan Smith, Tupou Sapoga, Regan Campbell-Gillard, Adrian Davis, George Jennings, Kevy Kingston, Sikamanu, Ben Murdoch-Masila, Chris Smith, Will Smith, and Isaiah Yeo. So a pretty sort of similar team to what I was expecting that the Panthers would roll out for the Nines. Obviously, when your key guys like Soward, Mansour, Wallace, Peachy, Cartwright, they're all still getting healthy, so none of them are going to be a part of any sort of preseason tournaments. And yeah, Ivan won't be hoping for those guys to play any competitive football until most of them probably the very later rounds of the preseason. So when you take all those guys out of the equation, I know there's been a lot of sort of controversy, I guess, around the league about the team that the Panthers have sort of sent over to Auckland for the Nines tournament that's coming up this weekend. I know that it's been a bit of an issue, but when you consider that five of those guys are probably up there with some of the higher paid players within the club, you kind of can understand why this is the team we've put out there. So Sikamanu, I would say, when you look at the guys that we've sort of had to replace, Sikamanu probably is right up there with one of the higher paid players at the club. And he's probably, I'd assume he's the one that they've used as a way to sort of maneuver around the sort of, I guess, the obligations that the club has by the NRL to make sure they're fielding a competitive team at the Nines that people are going to want to pay money to watch. And I guess that's pretty much how they would have got around that. And that's exactly what I was hoping they'd do. We've got a lot of young players on this team that they're exciting players and we want to see them play. So like a great chance for us to sort of get a really good look at Regan Campbell-Gillard and Andy Saunders, two sort of young front rowers coming through that we've seen playing in the junior grades and haven't yet made that step up to the top flight, and to see those guys playing in, I guess, some more meaningful football games than what we've sort of seen them in so far will be a pretty exciting sort of thing to sort of take away from the weekend. And that's one of the things I'll be looking forward to the most. And also just getting another chance to see some of these young guys that we, like the George Jennings out on the wing, who I guess last year probably didn't enjoy his time at the Nines because he was extremely impressive, and I thought he'd sort of almost won himself if not a regular spot in the first grade team, he'd probably won himself some pretty serious consideration. And yeah, he had that pretty serious elbow injury at the end of the tournament, and that pretty much derailed his entire season. So it'll be good to see him getting back into footy this weekend. And then we get some of the new guys coming through as well. Tupou Sapoga and Appy Corasau are both going to be amongst the action. And it'll be pretty interesting to see what Appy can do. And then you've even got guys like Isaiah Yeo, who we sort of enjoyed a pretty good sort of, it was a pretty good rookie season for Isaiah Yeo. And it'll be interesting to see how he's sort of developed physically over the offseason. And also, where his playing skills are at after a bit of a break at the end of the year. And I believe he actually also had some niggly injuries that he's been recovering from, but he's going to be playing on the weekend. And yeah, it's plenty of exciting stuff to watch out for. And one other guy I thought might be worth talking about quickly is Kieran Moss, who I think might be a bit of a dark horse candidate to one day maybe actually be wearing the number one jersey for the Panthers. Just when you look at the way the club's currently sort of positioned moving forward, we've got a lot of cover in the sort of outside backs and also at the fullback position, but you look at the halves and I guess that's probably the one spot for the Panthers where the future is a little cloudy. And I guess the one way that you sort of solve that issue is by slowly transitioning Matt Moylan into the sort of 5'8" role that I think we all expect he'll probably be able to fill quite capably. But at the end of the day, we still need people that are going to be able to come in and sort of replace him in that starting fullback spot. And I think Kieran Moss is one guy that could actually do it. He is a little small, but he's also a fairly crafty sort of a player that I think could probably handle first grade if he did bulk up a little bit and add that little bit of speed that might be required to be able to handle it in first grade. But yeah, I think he'll be an interesting player to watch this weekend, and he'd probably be my my pick for the top try scorer for the Panthers over the Nines tournament, because he does have a pretty good nose for scoring tries, and he sort of did that a lot in the Holden Cup and then also in New South Wales Cup last year. He's a really sort of crafty try scorer, and I'd expect that he'll probably be one among the top, if not the very top try scorer for the Panthers on the weekend. Looking at the actual, I guess, the landscape of the pool that the Panthers are going to be playing in, so we've got the Rabbitohs, the Storm, and the Cowboys. And I would say that the Panthers, I know people are saying that we haven't put a very strong team forward for this tournament. I actually look at us as a pretty good chance to win this group, just thinking about the fact that the Storm have basically taken it even less seriously than Penrith have, and they've sent over really no big-name players. Will Chambers is probably their most, I guess, well-known player, and probably their only real regular first-grade player that you would expect to be, yeah, seen in a Storm jersey in a regular first-grade game. And, yeah, they've sort of stacked the team with guys I either haven't heard of or guys that are sort of fringe first-grade players that are usually found playing for that weird Cronulla, Melbourne, New South Wales Cup team that, yeah, it seems to be sort of a feeder team for the Storm that plays in the New South Wales Cup. And that's what a lot of these guys are that we see in here. Like, yeah, you've got Dame Weston and Corabidi, who's coming over from the Tigers. So guys like that, who I guess he's probably an exciting player and would be a very suited sort of style of player for a Nines sort of tournament. But yeah, I'd say that we should quite comfortably handle the Storm in that sort of, in that second game on the Saturday. But the Rabbitohs have put a team together that looks far more sort of a little more serious and a little more, a dangerous sort of a team to be dealing with. They're sending over guys like Isaac Luke, Dylan Walker, Chris McQueen, Adam Reynolds, George Burgess, Ben Lowe. Yeah, their team's actually pretty stacked, and you would think that they're, with a team like that, they could very well be favourites to win the whole thing. But yeah, I think a team full of young, sort of hungry, developing players for the Panthers will be a really interesting test for this Rabbitohs team, which, although they've got the big names on paper, they might not take the tournament as seriously as some of these hungrier Panther players that are coming through and actually trying to win themselves a first grade spot. So yeah, that'll be an interesting thing to watch out for. And the other team we've got in our pool, as I was saying earlier, is the Cowboys, who we actually don't know anything about the Cowboys as of the time I'm recording this show. But I would expect that early this week we are going to see, probably as soon as I've released this show, the Cowboys will announce their team for the tournament. But at the moment, we don't know who they'll be putting out there. But you would have to think, like, they are the defending champs. They're probably going to send a reasonably strong team over. But at the same time, they did lose Lachlan Coote at the Nines last year, and that could be enough for them to think, let's not jeopardize our regular season by taking a preseason tournament too seriously. So I'll move on to the team previews series that I've been running all off season, and today we've got two more teams that the Panthers handled quite well throughout the season. We've got Newcastle and St. George. So I'll start this one off by talking about the Newcastle Knights, who are currently 11th in the betting odds for the Premiership at 29-1. And 11th probably seems like a fairly reasonable spot for them as well. The Panthers are going to play the Knights twice this season, so once in round four at Hunter Stadium, and then in the last round of the season at Sportingbet. So that could be another big game for the Panthers in solidifying some really good positioning for the finals, and hopefully to God not just trying to make it. So they're key additions. I guess there's really only one addition for the Knights that's worth talking about, and that's Tarek Sims, who is a really strong player, someone that the Cowboys, I'm sure, would be really disappointed that they are going to be saying bye to. But at the same time, the Panthers will actually be probably quite happy that Sims has ended up at the Knights with the schedule that we've got, because we won't see him in the first round. So he's got a carryover suspension from the end of last season. I think it was a lifting tackle it was a dangerous throw or something like that, where he's basically out for the first four games of the season. And if my maths are correct, that would mean that at round four, yeah, the game in round four at Hunter Stadium, Tarek Sims still won't be back with the team. So probably a bit of a break for the Panthers because Tarek Sims can be a pretty dangerous sort of a player. But yeah, he's a great pickup for them. And if they're going to have any hopes of making the finals, I guess Tarek Sims would be probably playing a really big part in that. So that's probably that'd be a signing I'd assume that they're really excited about. So the key departures for them, they've got Darius Boyd, Willie Mason, Adam Cuthbertson, Michael Dobson and Travis Waddell. They've all left. So Darius Boyd's probably the big name, I guess, and also Willie Mason are two of the big name guys that they've had to say bye to for the new season, and that's probably something they can deal with. I guess Tarek Sims is more than a capable replacement for a guy like Willie Mason, who would be entering into the very later stages of his career. So I'm sure that they're more than happy with the pickup of Tarek Sims for Willie Mason. And then you look at Darius Boyd and think, well, letting go of someone like Darius Boyd probably actually, if anything, might help the Knights out when they've got the Matautia brothers coming through. One of them, yeah, they're going to need some spots to play, and yeah, plenty of cover at that position. I'm sure they'll be more than comfortable with where they're sitting at the moment. And then of course Darius Boyd goes over to Brisbane, starts training, and tears his Achilles anyway. So it's really no loss for the Knights. And if yeah, more than anything, it just creates a pretty exciting opportunity for one of those younger players in Newcastle to maybe yeah. Sort of solidify themselves as a starting fullback for the team. And I guess the other key storyline for the Knights this season will be the return of Rick Stone, who was their coach from 2009 through to 2011. The Knights were always a fairly respectable team with Rick Stone coaching, and I think while he was sort of sent away to allow Wayne Bennett to come in and coach the Knights for a few years, he sort of worked under Bennett as an assistant, and also he had some pretty heavy involvement with the New South Wales Cup teams, might have even been their head coach. And I think, that was probably a fair success for them as well. They obviously made the grand final last year against Penrith in the lower grade. And yeah, you'd like to think that Rick Stone's got a decent bit of respect within that club, and that's probably something that won't do them any harm. It's obviously not going to be a move that will massively excite any of the Newcastle fans with Wayne Bennett leaving. Obviously, any replacement for Wayne Bennett's probably going to be disappointing if it's not someone like, I don't know, Ivan Cleary. Yeah, so Rick Stone coming back, probably nothing to get too excited about for Newcastle fans, but at the same time, it's probably not disappointing, and I'm sure he'll be more than capable of getting a pretty mediocre bunch to play hopefully slightly above mediocre football for them, and maybe even play respectable football, but we'll see how we go. And the next team we've got is the St. George Illawarra Dragons, who are currently slotted 14th in Sportsbet's premiership odds at 41-1, which is pretty shitty. That's pretty low in the totem pole, I guess. And the Panthers are only going to play the Dragons once this season, and that's going to be in round 24 at Wynn Stadium, so A pretty interesting theme here I've noticed just over the last two episodes of the show. Something I've brought up, in the last two episodes is that Penrith have actually got a really comfortable run home at the later end of the season, where we're basically going to be juggling for those hopefully high-ranking final spots. And you would like to think that with the kinds of teams like the Dragons and Newcastle and also Canberra, I believe it was, I was talking about last week, having those guys in your schedule in the later rounds of the season is something that you probably would look at as a really great opportunity to enter the finals with some really strong momentum. And yeah, I'm stoked that we're going to be seeing teams like the Dragons in round 24, Newcastle in round 26, and I believe we had Canberra twice in the last six or seven rounds as well. So that's four games that you would like to think. Four games against teams that may already have their finals hopes, done and dusted. And, that'd be a really great opportunity for the Panthers to build some strong momentum and enter the finals really, really happy with the way we're playing footy. So that'll be another thing to look out for. So for St George, the key additions that we'll sort of cover, Dane Nielsen, Eto Nabuli and George Rose are the main guys that you would really say St George have brought in at the moment. But at the same time, we're also hearing some decent sort of rumours that they're going to be signing a couple of front rowers that will really strengthen that forward pack. And that will pretty much be what the, that'll be sort of the determining factor with how, what we should expect from the Dragons this coming season. Both Mossy Masoi was the first guy that was sort of rumoured to be heading over to the Dragons, and nothing's really materialised out of that yet. I haven't really seen anywhere that the talks have been shut down. Last I'd heard, he was sort of requesting a release from his club in England to move over to St George, and I'm not sure if where his talks have sort of progressed with that. But then the other guy they've got is Russell Packer, and if they can get deals done for both of those guys, or even just one, it's going to really strengthen their forward pack. Like, I'm sure a lot of you Panther fans would remember Mossy Masoi being, a real sort of a real demon on the field for the Panthers, especially later in the year when he got going in that 2013 season. He was suddenly someone I was really disappointed to see leave the club, because earlier in the year he was a little not in great shape, and probably just not quite gelling with the team yet. But later in the year he was probably our most consistent and also most impactful front rower. And if he does end up back in the NRL and playing for the Dragons, that'll be something that clubs will have to sort of prepare for, because you'd be going from a team like the Dragons having one of the weaker forward packs in the NRL to suddenly having a really dangerous weapon running the ball up the middle of the field for the Dragons. And Russell Packer, I guess everyone knows about Russell Packer at this point. We were actually rumored to be dealing with Russell Packer. I think the rumors actually came out on the night of Penrith's season finishing, when we lost that game to the Bulldogs. Those rumours started, sort of swirling that Penrith had actually signed Russell Packer and were basically waiting for approval from the NRL. And then a couple hours later, it was reported that it was actually the Dragons that had the deal approved. And basically we heard from multiple sources that he'd signed with two different clubs on the same day. And I guess partially a messy situation because of his situation, where he's obviously in jail and probably finding it quite difficult to negotiate football contracts when he's probably limited to the kinds of communication he can actually have with his agent and also, football clubs. So that made that a pretty weird scenario for the Panthers and also, I guess, the Dragons. But if anything does come of that, and if he is allowed back into the NRL and, the league approves a signing for him, He'll be a player that not many teams will look forward to going up against. He's a nasty dude on the field and apparently a pretty nasty dude off the field too. So that'll be something that I think is going to pretty much determine how the Dragons season goes. If they hit on these signings and manage to take away both of those guys from free agency and actually bring in Mossy Masoi and Russell Packer, they'll be a team that I would say actually has a decent shot at maybe pinching one of those last two spots in the top eight. But if that doesn't pan out, it's been a bit of a disaster for the Dragons, really, when you consider that they've lost Brett Morris, who is probably the best winger in the NRL, and replacing him with guys like Eto Nabuli and Dane Nielsen really isn't enough to compensate for the loss of a New South Wales State of Origin legend at this point. And probably the best winger in the game. It's a pretty tough pill to swallow, and one that the Dragons, I think, their fans will really sort of struggle to come to terms with losing a guy like that, because I know he's meant a lot to that club, and obviously winning premierships there and everything. It's probably hard to see guys like that go, especially when we're already enjoying the benefits of one of their disgruntled former employees playing at the foot of the mountains now. It's probably becoming quite difficult for Dragons fans to see stuff like that happening on a regular basis for the club. But that's the position we're sort of faced with the Dragons now, and it's sort of an end of an era for them, and they're sort of moving into the future. And I guess a big part of moving into the future for them is the new halves pairing of Gareth Widdop and Benji Marshall, which, yeah, it's a pretty interesting pairing, because when the two guys are on, you would think that's one of the best halves pairings in the league, but when they're off, they can be completely anonymous. And Gareth Widdop, I don't know if you guys remember, but got off to an absolutely insane start to the season last year. He was looking like the odds-on favourite for Dally M after like 6 weeks in the season. I think they might have won 4 out of 6 in the first 6 rounds, and just looked like a really tough team. And he looked like he was the best player in the world for that whatever it was 4 to 6 week period. And he obviously slowed down a little bit later in the season as the Dragons did as well. And yeah, then mid-season they signed Benji Marshall, and he came over, looked very sort of out of shape. He didn't look ready to be playing football. He came over and said he was in the best shape of his life, and we saw him play, and he quite clearly wasn't in the best shape of his life. But once he got his fitness sort of under control and started getting back to sort of the basics and doing what he did well on the field, which I guess probably isn't the basics, but he started to look more like Benji Marshall. That halves pairing actually started to click a little bit, and they became a reasonably good team and a tough team to deal with. They had some ridiculous losses, but they also had some pretty big wins throughout the season. And they were one of those teams that for a while they looked like they were going to be a top 8 side last year, but yeah, probably too much to overcome, especially looking at that really dodgy forward pack they were putting out on the field every week last year. It was, yeah, it's hard to go up against teams like even just Penrith or, yeah, the Bulldogs, the Rabbitohs, all those teams, the Roosters, that have these just ginormous forward packs running at you every week. And yeah, and see how a team where, yeah, Ben Cray and, yeah, like guys like that are trying to sort of be the enforcers on the field and sort of, and wrestle for field position. You're not going to win many games when you're getting that out muscled in the forwards. And that was the main issue for the Dragons last year. And yeah, if they can, as I was saying earlier, if they make those signings, that's going to be an issue that will pretty much be completely nullified. But yeah, still plenty to be determined there on that front. And yeah, I think the Dragons will be a fairly interesting team to watch this season. If the Benji Marshall, Gareth Widdop experiment sort of thrives in year two, I think it'll be a really interesting team to watch, because Benji Marshall is obviously one of the more polarizing players in the game, much similar to, I guess, Jamie Soward. But he, yeah, if he's playing well, there's no denying he's a really, really fun guy to watch. And I've always loved Widdop's game at Melbourne. I thought he was great, and I thought he was really good last year for the Dragons. But yeah, we'll see how they go in year two with that halves combination. And yeah, I think they'll be a respectable side if all goes to plan for them. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. So that should pretty much do me for this week's episode of the Black Cat Podcast. It will be fairly brief this week, but I can't wait to get stuck in early next week and just, yeah, talk about actual football, because I'm sure you guys are struggling through these ones with me as we sort of talk about hypotheticals and what ifs. And yeah, just, yeah, really excited to get into some real football and actually be talking about the Panthers' on-field performances rather than talking about Jamie Soward's moustache and Jamal Idris's nightclubs and all that sort of crap that no one really cares about. It'll be really fun to actually dig into some real football. And that obviously starts this weekend when the boys go over to Auckland for the Nines tournament. The week after that, we've got the Roosters game up in the Central Coast, and I'll definitely be heading up to that one. So that's something we can all look forward to, and that'll probably resemble much more of a Panthers game than what we'll see this weekend, which is a bit more of a novelty. But yeah, I'm really excited just to have football on the TV and be talking about the Panthers. And I'm sure Twitter will be going crazy on the weekend with everyone claiming George Jennings is the greatest centre to ever step foot onto a rugby league field, and Kieran Moss looking like he's going to be Billy Slater on steroids throughout his entire career, and Andy Saunders looking like the young Shane Webke coming through for the Panthers. But yeah, I'm really excited just to see some real games, and then next week to actually talk about real games. So thanks again for sort of getting through these first four episodes of the show with me. I think I'm getting a little better at it. I'm a little more comfortable talking to you guys about the footy now, and I'm sure when I've actually got real content to be talking about and breaking down some actual performances and getting a bit more of an idea of how the actual season's faring, it'll only get easier and also more enjoyable for you guys, the fans. But yeah, thanks again for checking out the show. As always, any thoughts or questions, don't forget to tweet me using the hashtag BlackCatPod. And go the Mighty Panthers!
Tackle hurts you, and tomorrow you'll be sore.